Welcome to Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with my co-host, Luann Crane. And Luann, we have a highly practical program today on discipline, one of the tougher parenting topics we could tackle.
Well, and your dad has written and spoken so much wisdom on this topic, Ryan.
I know that firsthand.
You do. Of course, his classic book, Dare to Discipline, which everybody is sure was written about you, as one example. And he actually had a fascinating conversation with mom and author Lisa Welchel about how to get creative when disciplining our children, perhaps not for outward rebellion, but for other more childish habits and attitudes.
Well, and it can be a challenge for many parents. Our guest speaks at conferences all over the country, and she said she hears from parents all the time, desperate for options beyond yelling or timeouts, something new. And for this reason, we're going to let our listeners hear what transpired between my dad and this guest. You just mentioned her name, and some may have already figured out Lisa Welchel played Blair on the hit TV sitcom from years ago, The Facts of Life.
Well, when she was really little, she even was on the new Mickey Mouse Club, but she walked away from the fame after The Facts of Life ended. She married her husband Steve in 1988 and had three kids in 3 years. She knows what it's like to be busy. Those kids are now 19, 20, and 21. And as we heard last time, Lisa absolutely loves being a mom.
And if you didn't hear the first half of this conversation yesterday, you can hear more about Lisa's story and her time in Hollywood at familytalk.org.
Now, much of the discussion we're about to hear today is based on her popular book, Creative Correction, Extraordinary Ideas for Everyday Discipline. Let's listen in now as our host talks with Lisa Welchel on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, Lisa, let's get back to it. Last time we gave some of the background information on child discipline from your perspective, some ideas, some creative approaches to getting kids to do what you need them to do. We're going to deal with some of those how-tos in a moment. But first, let's talk about the why. What is the primary objective or the target of discipline as you see it? What are you trying to do as a mother or father?
For me, I have to keep going back to what I really want to teach my children is how to relate to Father God. The way they respond to me and the way that I train them to respond to me will be the way they respond to God. And if I allow them to argue with me, then that's going to hurt them. If they grow up and God says, no, that's not the young man I want you to marry. And they say, oh, but I love him. Oh, but he's perfect. Then if they argue and then get their own way, then that will cost them.
Especially if they are disrespectful in their arguing.
Yes.
We all converse with God and say, are you sure, Lord, that you've got my best interest at heart?
Right.
But it's when you begin to respond to both parents and God disrespectfully.
And argue from a point of lack of trust, too. You know, I really want to build the trust in my children that they know that they can argue with me, but that ultimately I do have their best interest at heart, and that ultimately God not only has their best interest, but infinitely more wisdom than I do, and they can trust him even when they don't understand.
All right. What do you say when one of your three children looks at you and symbolically, if not in words, says, I'm not going to do what you told me to do. I don't have to, and I'm not going to. And after all, you're only a mommy, you know. What happens?
Well, I don't use creative correction at that point. I spank.
So you are in favor of corporal punishment?
Well, spanking is a gift from God. I am thankful, and I think my children are too in many ways.
But you are very moderate in the way you've handled it in this book.
Yes,
I am. Talk about them not being too harsh and not being too oppressive, but in simply emphasizing this is the way we're going to do things.
Yes, and as in the scenario you did show was or talk about was definitely outright defiance, and there's the place for spanking, and again, the creative correction I have to deal with spanking, but it really is for those times when spanking isn't appropriate, and yet timeouts don't work, and yelling isn't effective. So then, what do I do?
Yeah. Well, we mentioned last time that kids vary tremendously. Some don't need it. I'm convinced that there are many kids that are born compliant. They look at you and just simply want to do what you want them to do. They need you. They want to please you. And a parent who has two or three or four or five of those doesn't understand the parent who's trying to deal with this kid who is rebellious from 2 years of age on, and he is really going to bang on the walls. You know, he's doing everything he can to try to overthrow constituted authority. And there are those kids that are out there, and those parents do need an effective response in those situations.
They do. And they often need help in the heat of the battle. And that's when it's sometimes the hardest to know what to do and how to handle it. And that's why I made the book with the toolbox sections, so that in the middle of it, you can go and pick it up, go to the topical index, look up sibling conflict or whining or lying or temper tantrums. And when you are at your most frustrated, there's some instant help to, or at least ideas to try.
I'm sure you're aware that the media and the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, and many other professional groups, psychologists, psychiatrists, have attempted in the last 15 to 20 years to convince us that all corporal punishment under every circumstance is harmful to kids. You've heard those words.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we find something different in the scriptures. So where's the disconnect? It comes at this point, and I really feel strongly about this. There is not one, capital O-N-E, there is not one single credible piece of research that has ever been produced and reported in the journals that says spanking is harmful to kids if you look at the data. The reason for the confusion is that they don't separate out harshness and oppressiveness and meanness and rejection and a lack of love from those that are disciplining in the way you're talking about, where it is a function of love and it's done within restrained limits. They throw all of them together and say it is spanking that makes the difference. The truth of the matter is it's not spanking that makes the difference. It is approach and manner and love. And so all of those studies that are out there that claim spanking is harmful are simply off the wall. If you look at the methodology, you find that one basic flaw that's there. And I want to say to parents who are out there, you're not going to harm your children if you spank your children in love and with restraint and not in anger and not trying to hurt a child or wound him or reject him, but simply to say, this is not the way we do things here. And if you insist on breaking the rules, there are consequences. There are in life. There are consequences for me when I disobey God, and there are consequences to you. Now, you're going to have to choose. I mean, that's as clear to me as night and day, and apparently it is to you.
That's why I can say, without being afraid, when I say spanking is a gift of God, because I know in our home it is, because it brings a point of peace to their heart, peace to our home. They know there's no question it's out of love. I don't spank in anger. As a matter of fact, we have a policy in our home that if I'm frustrated and the child is frustrated, which is often the case in the middle of some kind of conflict, they have a place they go and they calm down. And I have a place to go and I calm down. So not only so that I don't correct in anger, but because once they calm down, they are much more willing to receive what I have to say. And we're not fighting at that point. I can actually guide them and train them at that point. There really isn't as much defiance or willful defiance as much as when they were younger and they were testing the ground. They've tested the ground and they see that in the it doesn't move very much. So we don't have to spank as often.
Ah. All right. What are some of the other creative ways to correct your children, to play off the title of your book, when it's not appropriate to use corporal punishment?
There's rewards and incentives. There's scripture. I'll use a lot of scripture, and I have it broken down into topics so that it's easy for the mom that's dealing with a situation, instead of just saying, well, I'm the mom, and I say so, and that's why. She can say, you know what, honey? And she'll reach for the book, and it's right there, easy for her, in alphabetical order. This is what the Lord says about lying, or this is what the Lord says about laziness. And God created the world. He created you. He knows what makes life work. And if he says this is what makes life work, then because I love you, I'm going to enforce that. There's also stories. Stories inspire kids to do right.
Sure,
there's a
do.
Toolbox full of stories that help them. That way, you're not just correcting the flesh, but you're training and instructing the heart at the same time. You can say, don't do this. And if you cross this line, this will what will happen. But give them beyond that. Why not cross the line? Not just not to get correction, because there's something better for you. And give them a story that inspires them to do right in the first place.
That's good stuff, Lisa. That's right on target. You talk about parental attitudes in this book as it relates to correcting your child. Elaborate.
You know, as a mom, sometimes I resort to yelling or just ignoring it just for my own peace, my own comfort, or I correct just not for any superly godly reasons, just because I want control in the home. And that, unfortunately, is so short-sighted that I need to take the moment. If I'm reading the paper, or if I'm writing emails on the computer, or if I'm in the middle of preparing dinner and my kids do something, I need to stop and get the big picture and realize that giving up 20 minutes of whatever I'm doing that's that important at that moment is nothing compared to going and actually parenting my child, taking the 20 minutes to talk to them about what, having them confess what they did, talk to them about what does the Bible say about that, why God wants us to not do that, and then establish correction that I can follow through on. And so I think so many times the attitude of parents is just peace at all cost instead of the big picture, which is really training them to respond to God.
Peace frequently can be obtained by sitting them in front of a television set, watching things that could be harmful to them.
And wasting time.
Absolutely.
That could be parenting them.
Let's go back to your toolbox idea and tell me what else is in it.
Okay. One of the ideas that I have in the rewards and incentives, and a lot of people don't agree with me with rewards and incentives. They think they call it bribing. But I go back to the scripture where God when he was talking to his children of Israel, he said, choose this path of obedience. And these are the blessings, and he names them. Choose this path of disobedience, and here are the curses, and he names them. And so one of the toolbox ideas in the rewards chapter is my son loves Legos. He loves those Lego kits where you can build a big space station or a pirate ship, but they're pretty expensive. So I broke down and bought him one, but I had a attached to it something that he had to learn. I let him put together the first 10 pieces when he got home. But after that, he could put together the next 10 pieces every time he took the initiative to do something that I had already taught him. So instead of stepping over the socks on the floor, if he picked them up and put them in the hamper, he got to put the next 10 pieces together. And so at the end of it took about 30 days. At the end of the 30 days, he had not only built this great pirate ship, but he had built a really good character trait at the same time of initiative.
You know, of all the things that I've written about through the years, including the pro-life cause and many other things, one of the most controversial within the Christian realm has been the use of reward.
Really? I didn't know that.
It is amazing that people see that as bribery, as somehow manipulative, and yet the entire world operates that way. You know, we go to work and we bring a paycheck home and nobody thinks that's bribery. That's the system. That's the way it works. And as far as punishment goes, you know, they think that doesn't work, but in fact that works too. You know, I was buzzing along a kind of a country road not too long ago and I came over a little bridge and there was a highway patrolman sitting there with radar and he nailed me. That was very painful. I don't remember what the cost was, but it was a lot. And I never again went over that bridge without thinking about that guy and slowing down. Mm-hmm. It works.
Yes,
and it
does.
Works for children.
And, you know, even Jesus. It says that Jesus suffered the cross for the joy set before him. And I teach my kids that there are rewards in heaven that they can earn now. And one of the ideas even for sibling conflict is when they get into a conflict with one another, they know they have three choices. They can either retaliate, overcome evil with evil, and then, of course, both kids get in trouble. Uh-huh. Or they can come to the judge, come to me, and plead their case, and that is acceptable. Sometimes there's a place for that. Mom needs to be the referee. And maybe they will get, yes, you were right, and the other kid gets in trouble. But the third choice is to actually choose the blessing in heaven, which is just to let it go, just to lay down your life, just to sacrifice and prefer others. They know that they don't get the blessing of being right here on earth, but they get the blessing of being righteous and the blessing in heaven. And they really are trained at an early age to hold out for something better that's just not immediate.
All right, give me another item in your toolbox.
Okay, kids of all ages just seem to just forget to put away their toys. When they're little and they forget to put away their toys, then I used to put their things in a box. If they didn't put them away, then I put them away and then put them on top of the refrigerator so that they knew every day that their toys were up there and they weren't getting to play with them because they didn't put them up. And so then they would get one toy out every day that they put their toys away from that point on till they earned them all back.
Now, see, that's a simple thing because you didn't have to fight or argue or punish or warn or threaten. It's just simply the way it is.
Right. Let's say we have the same problem as a teenager or perhaps just their room like that. You know, you can just go in there and say, oh, I cannot stand to look at this room any longer. It is a mess, and I'm turning off the circuit breaker to your room because I can't stand to look at it. You can't use anything in here that requires electricity until it's cleaned up. Well, you know, that takes away whatever. If it's a stereo, if it's a computer, it's whatever, and it's just a logical consequence, and they get it cleaned up even in the dark.
Lisa, as you're traveling around the country and you're doing radio programs, television programs, what happens to the switchboard when you start talking about these things? Does it light up?
Oh, it lights up. People calling with, well, what about this and what about that? People are hungry for practical help and practical answers.
And you have filled this book with them.
Hope so.
We have a gallery full of people today, and they've been sitting patiently out there. We're going to open the microphones now and ask if there's anyone who would like to come and make a comment on what we have said or ask a question of you, Lisa. All right, give us your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm blessed to be the mom of four boys, ranging in age from 6 months to 8 years. Most days they get along beautifully. Some days they don't. What creative ways do you have to suggest to foster love and friendship amongst my boys?
Let them wrestle. Allow them to wrestle. Have a place for them to wrestle. We have a trampoline, and wrestling's a good thing, I think, for boys. I think I'm not a big fan, especially when the kids are little, of deflection. You know, a lot of people say, well, just remove the item from their hand, their reach. But I like teaching my kids when they were little. There were some things you can't touch, even as a little child. But I am a big fan of deflection when it comes to sibling conflict, because so many of the things really are about nothing in particular. And all we have to do is make them realize that. One of the things I do is if they're yelling at each other and they're yelling mean things, I say, you know what, you can continue to yell at each other, but go out in the backyard. And before you continue this argument, you get on one end of the backyard, the other gets on the other, and yell 20 times, I love you and you're my best friend. Well, it gets all that energy out, but at least they're yelling something productive.
Someone said good law makes good nature. Neighbors too. Sometimes the better control you have of your family, where everybody knows their place and knows how to live within the confines of a family, are less likely to fight with each other. And without those laws, without that supervision, they can kill each other, literally, and carry that anger well into the adult years. And here's the last question.
Hi, I wanted to find out what your idea is on your ideas in your book as far as long-term. We have 5 children in 7 years, and we have teenagers, 3 teenagers. And we believe, my husband and I, that if you hold to God's promises, that when they are older, they will not stray from his teachings.
You know what? I am going to do the very best I can to train my kids according to God's ways. But I've seen too many fine Christian parents have children that make choices that go down to the wrong path. Now, thankfully, many times, sometimes 50 years down the road, they do return to the path that they were raised in. But I have to be very careful to not recognize that my children do have choices to make. I want the choices to be some choices that they want to make because they see they make sense. They see they are from a point of love. They are a point of wisdom. But they ultimately have to make those choices. And if they don't, then I'm not going to blame myself, because even the mistakes that I've made, God in his mercy can can cover up those mistakes and turn them for the good, but the kids have to make their choices.
Lisa, I'm so glad to hear you answer that question the way you did, because there's so much confusion about that issue. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus Christ, is the one who wrote those words that said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The Proverbs are not promises. I know that people take them as promises, but they're not. They're probabilities. What he is saying throughout the Proverbs is that this is the way things usually work. The lazy man sometimes comes to ruin. Well, sometimes lazy people do well. Yeah, I don't know how to explain that, but sometimes they do. Usually they don't. Now, in that case, train up a child in the way he should go. What Solomon is saying is that we have a great opportunity to influence our kids. We have a responsibility to do so. And when we do that, the probabilities are very great that those children will follow that leadership and that training. But he was not saying inevitably that's true, because if it had been, there would be no free choice, and that your kids would be robots. And if ever that was going to happen, Adam and Eve would have been righteous to the end, because God was a perfect father. And they chose what was wrong. And so sometimes kids do choose the wrong thing. And you're sure right. If you take the full responsibility for that and get under that load of guilt, it'll break you. It'll absolutely break you. But what you do in those situations is stay on your knees day by day by day. And very frequently, indeed, almost always, Solomon turns out to be right. You agree with that?
Absolutely.
Well, Lisa, it's a pleasure talking to you. I hear a lot of good, sound wisdom in your voice. And beyond your years, as a matter of fact, you've obviously learned a lot about raising kids, and you've included a lot of that wisdom in your book. It's called Creative Correction, the Extraordinary Ideas for Everyday Discipline. I think parents are going to find this very helpful. One last question for you. We are talking at this moment to some very discouraged moms. They're overwhelmed. And many of them are trying to work 40 or 50 hours a week and trying to raise kids too. And they have to do that. Some of them are single moms. Some of them don't have any choice. And the kids are not turning out the way they want them to, and they just need a word of encouragement. Reach through these microphones and put an arm around their shoulder, will you?
I would just like to encourage them that the fact that they love their children, their kids are going to be blessed by that. The kids know when someone loves them. They're going to respond. They're going to be hearing the things that they're saying. If they're saying them in love, they know they come from a place from love. They're going to hear them. They're going to go deep. You know what? The fruit may not come till later. Sometimes on fruit trees, the very first, second, or third crop is inedible. But eventually, the fruit gets really sweet. But you just have to wait a while, and you just keep on pouring into them, keep on loving them, keep on doing the things, and most of all, keep on praying for them, because that's where the supernatural miracle grow enters into the picture of the good fruit.
Many of those parents are doing a better job than they think they are.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and yes. That's the encouraging thing. Children are resilient. And they do make it, even when it looks like they're foundering. Frequently, they land on their feet. And that's maybe the most important place to end this discussion, is on your knees. You just say every day, Lord, I know I'm inadequate. I'm dealing with cultural forces that are tearing at my kids, trying to get in their hearts and minds. I'm doing the very best I can, make up for my mistakes. You know, give me wisdom in those moments when I don't know what to do.
I love it that God refers to himself as our Father.
Yes.
I love that, because he is their Father. And he is going to keep right on pouring into them, even when we're not in the picture.
Lisa Welchel of the new Mickey Mouse Club fame and the Facts of Life. And now a full-time mom. It's been good having you here. And I trust a lot of people will want to get a copy of your book.
I hope so.
Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for inviting me.
What a great way to end this Family Talk program on parenting, with a reminder that our Heavenly Father is the one who is in control and leading and guiding us as we try to raise our kids right.
Ryan, parenting is one of the most difficult and yet one of the most important professions in the world. And at Family Talk, we are so committed to creating tools for moms and dads to use to strengthen their families.
And if you'd like more resources to help you with parenting, we can offer you Lisa's book, which was discussed today. Once again, the title is Creative Correction, and that's available at familytalk.org.
As well as your dad's parenting titles, including The New Dare to Discipline and The New Strong-Willed Child. Again, familytalk.org, or ask about these when you call 877-732-6825.
And Luann, I'm curious, what parenting topics our listeners would really like to see us address here on Family Talk? And so we'd like them to send their comments and suggestions. You can do so by emailing us at familytalk.org or on our Facebook page.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can pass along your thoughts when you're on the phone as well. Again, that number, 877-732-6825. And if you would consider sending in a little donation when you connect with us, we would sure appreciate it.
We would. Thanks so much for listening, and join us again tomorrow on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
We'll see you then.